Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have once again come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this is, what we stand for. That's a verse, Proverbs 27:17, that we stand behind. So it's about being able to assist others. And believe it or not, when we are in challenge times, when we assist others, we actually forget about the things that are bothering us. So that's probably a pretty good thing. In the studio with me today, Joel, good to have you, bro.
It's good to be here.
Is it?
It is. It really is.
All right, good, good. Glad you're here. We got a topic today that there isn't a guy or a person who's listening that this does not affect. And we're going to be talking about pornography. We're going to be talking about, we're going to kind of let the Spirit lead, but we're going to kind of start it off and see where He takes us on this sort of thing. And what it is, what the challenges are, and we'll try to give you some application before we finish for the day to be able to give you some opportunity of being able to be not only encouraged, but how to be able to apply certain things to your life to deal with this sort of thing. Anyway, so we always kind of kick it off with a little bit of encouragement, because have you got anything on your heart?
I really do.
Yeah.
So my encouragement came to me this morning in 2 Samuel 11. And that's the story of David and Bathsheba. And the Lord put that upon my heart this morning because David, a righteous man, I mean, we hear about David in the Bible, and he's a righteous man.
Yes.
And yet he commits adultery, and not just adultery, but murder. And not only that, but he murdered a righteous man.
Yes.
Uriah was righteous. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't go and lay with his wife while his brothers were still out there fighting. He wouldn't go and be in a warm bed while his brothers were out there in cold tents. Mm-hmm. Yet David murdered him. Yet we still read in the Bible that David is a man after God's own heart. Adultery and murder, and David is considered a righteous man, a man after God's own heart. Now, if God can wash over those sins, He can surely wash over my sins. I've never been a murderer, you know, but sometimes I feel so down. How could God love me? Well, read that story, 2 Samuel 11, and it tells you, you know, there is nothing that the blood of Jesus will not cover.
That's it?
That's it.
Nothing else?
Nothing else.
Okay, where does it say somewhere in the Bible here in the Beatitudes, does it say something about that you murder even though, I mean, you're a murderer if you?
If you hate your brother.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. So you have been a murderer.
I have been a murderer.
And I have too.
I hope the cops aren't listening.
Well, you're not going to get arrested for hating somebody.
Yes.
But the fact is that that's why the Lord, He judges our hearts, see, because when we read these things in Scripture, we sit there and we just go, okay, well, I've never done it quite like, I've never done that. I've never, you know, and it, you know, it takes us to that place of not only denial, but of saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with me, in a sense, right? So that I can be scot-free, in a sense, even though my name's not Scott, anyway. So, all right, good encouragement. And the encouragement was
that there's nothing the blood of Jesus will not cover.
Amen. And that's something that we all need to be reminded of, because so often we have a tendency of having built-in forgetters as guys, right?
Selective memory.
Exactly. And so we want to be able to encourage you just to say, hey, no matter what, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in you and with you, and it's His power not yours, that overcomes all of this world that it wants to throw at you. So anyway, so let's carry on with what our topic is. We're going to be talking about an area of pornography, and you want to just kind of kick it off a little bit?
I do. So, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when we do sexually immoral sins, mm-hmm. like pornography, mm-hmm. we are sinning against the temple, God's temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, pornography is a devastating thing.
Yes.
Not only does it devastate, you know, our families, but it devastates God's holy temple.
Yes.
It has so many effects on us, you know, emotionally as well as physically. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible thing in society today. You know, it's always been around, but it's more prevalent with the internet today.
And because, I mean, why is it easily accessible?
Because of the internet.
Yeah, because, I mean, anybody could get on there and just push a button.
Anyone.
Really?
You know, back in the day, you used to have to be 18 or get an adult. Yeah, at the grocery, or not the grocery store, the gas station, go in and buy you a magazine. Well, nowadays, any kid can get on their smartphone and look it up.
Well, the average age for, let's see, this was taken a couple years ago, but the average age for looking at pornography was 8 years of age. 8 years of age. That's the average age. Okay? So that lets us know as men, as fathers, sometimes our children, they, you know, they're pretty smart. They see mom and dad on the computer and say, oh, I want to be able to check that out. And before you know it, they're looking at things not necessarily intentionally, not to start. And all of a sudden, whoa, they come across something. So it's very important for us as fathers and husbands and men, period, mighty men of God, to be aware of who is, what's going on in your household, what's going on in your home.
So. Is what's going on in our own lives.
Yes.
Our kids are more likely to come across it if we're doing it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be that history on your computer.
Yes.
They're going to see a picture on there, and it's going to entice them. It's going to snare them.
Okay. So part of this, because we can go in a lot of different directions on this, you know. First off, when it comes to the desire for sex, that is a God-given gift, okay. For us to be able to have a spouse, our wives, to be able to create a family with, God wanted to make it pleasurable. That's why this whole thing was given to us. We sit there and go, why am I like this? No, God intended it this way. Because he wants you to not only, he wants you to prosper with family, to be able to have children. Okay. Now, we're not going to be talking about that you should have 12 kids or no number or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. But the simple fact is this feeling of wanting to make love to your wife. Okay. And in some cases before that, it was have sex because I want that feeling. I want that feeling of orgasm. I want to be able to sense it and have it as often as possible because it feels good.
Yes. That's where the problem comes is when we're dragged away
yes.
by our own desires.
Yes, there you go.
You know, rather than being led by the heart or the spirit, we're dragged away by the flesh.
Yes.
So God created sex, but he created it between one man and one woman.
Right.
Not one man and a computer screen or one man and a magazine
yes.
or one man and five women. God created sex for one man and one woman. He created a marriage
Your wife.
Covenant. That's no, right.
Wife.
Your wife.
Yeah.
Your wife in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the challenge takes place, you know, because all of a sudden, before we even get married, okay, when we're talking about kids as early as, you know, before, you know, they're in third grade or whatever, they're already looking at some of this stuff and they're not sure exactly how to deal with this sort of thing. And then they come to find out more things, that they can find out more things from the internet or their friends who don't know any more than they do, but they're just intimidated by them because maybe they're taller or bigger or older or whatever, right? But all of that ends up leading them into a position that sometimes many of us have been in, but maybe not near as long as some of these kids will have, you know, the challenges that take place. So here we are. As guys, we end up in the world. We have a lot of, and let me put it this way, the world, the enemy, okay, who has realm of the world, okay, the Lord gave it to him, said, hey, this is yours, okay? And so he has, this is his place. He knows that he can take us out through sin. And pornography, adultery, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, this is all part of being able to take us, divide us away from this relationship with our Lord, correct?
Correct.
And so as a result of that, we end up being tempted in so many different ways. Excuse me, it must be that change of weather. Maybe that's what's going on.
It's that snow outside.
Anyway, so, yeah, but in the middle of summer, no one's going to know that it's snowing outside. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, so my point being is that we end up being tempted, okay? So you wanted to talk about this part of the pornography as part of the temptation that actually takes place in us, right?
Yes. You know, and you'd said something, you know, the effects that it has on children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I viewed it, I was 12 years old. And I saw an image on my mom's computer. But not just that. But at the time, my mom was just going through a divorce.
Mm.
So I saw more images of my mom on the computer. And then my mom started working at a porn shop. So this had devastating effects on
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized it. Mm-hmm. I thought, hey, it's okay for me. It's giving
it's a
me pleasure.
Thing,
it's
yeah.
a natural thing. Everyone's doing it.
Mom's doing
well,
it.
Well, it's not until years later,
yeah.
16, 17 years later, that I realized the effects it has on me.
Mm-hmm.
I do not view women as people.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my history, because of how deep I have gone, I view them as objects, not people. You see, but they are people. They are people. They're made in God's image just as I am, and I view them as objects. It's like viewing the Lord as an object, but they're his children. It has devastating effects on me. Not just me. There's men in their 20s now that need Viagra simply because they've trained their brain to be enticed by pixels instead of people. And so it's having a physical effect on men. Praise God, it hasn't had that kind of effect on me. But it's physically destroying to our bodies,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just our marriages, but our physical bodies.
Well, any type of sin will actually lead you into a place of destruction because that's what it's designed to do, to destroy us.
To bring death.
The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, that's what he talks about in John, right? John mentions there that that's what he's here for. His only mission is to kill us, to destroy relationships, okay, so that God could not be glorified. The enemy knows that we were created by God. In doing so, we were perfect when we were made in the sense that we came into this world, but it doesn't take very long before all of a sudden our own natural nature, so to speak, takes over, okay? It doesn't take very long at all. We see it in selfishness or even as children, okay? My point being is that when we are tempted, it's only for one reason only, so that we would desire the sin more than desiring not to sin. And before, when we didn't know the difference between right and wrong, as the Bible talks about, for those that are first coming to know the Lord, he's giving you milk. You can't chew on stuff here until you know about, you know, you get this foundational stuff down correctly, knowing that there is a source of not just recovery, but of salvation, okay? And that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? So with this, so in your story, because you had mentioned it here, so how long did it take before you realized, how old were you when you started realizing that maybe there's something wrong here? Were you 20-some years old before you realized that?
I believe I was about 19 or 20 years
yeah.
old that I realized I had a problem, you know, and so I took all of my porn and I got rid of it. I thought that was the end of it. But I tried to do it on my own strength.
Yes.
That was not the end of it. It only got worse.
Mm-hmm.
After I got married, I thought for sure that would be the end of it. No, that was not the end of it.
Yes.
After I became a father of a daughter, I thought for sure that would be the end of it.
You know, you're really upsetting some guys who are listening right now, because you're telling them that you're not ever going to be rid of this thing. You're going to always be tempted in this area. And why should I continue living like this?
Well, you are always going to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have had some great victories this last week, but I had a failure last night. You know, I was on YouTube and I clicked on a bra commercial. Now, to me, that's considered a failure, because I knew what I was supposed to be doing before bed, saying my prayers, praying for my brothers. Yet I had a failure because there was temptation.
Yes.
I was dragged away by my own desires, my flesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So often, even in the case where we are actually doing, okay, we'll try to simplify it here, the wrong thing or the right thing, okay? So we've been doing the right thing day after day after day, the majority of the time. Not that saying we don't sin through that day, that we don't fall into that, but we will stumble at times. We'll have opportunity to be able to make a decision whether I want to go the right path or the bad path, right? Yeah. Just to try to simplify it here. But so often, because we want our desire, our fleshly, we want to be satisfied. We want that. And you can use any analogy to be able to say this is what it's like. I mean, if you love chocolate cake and there's a certain decadent cake that is out there, you know that if you have it in the house that you will actually eat it, right? Because it tastes good. It gives you pleasure to eat that sort of thing, right? And yet, if it's not in the house, if you really, really want it, then you're going to go to the store and buy it, right? And even on the way to the store, you're going to be thinking about nothing except that, right? But the likelihood is that I found from my own experience is that not only do I end up getting the cake, but I end up getting other things that probably are not good for me either. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Same thing happens here, right?
And it is. What happens when you're done eating that cake? What happens the next day? Are you still satisfied with that cake after you already ate it? You're not. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with our sins. It's the same thing with pornography. You think it satisfies you, and it might short term, but it doesn't satisfy you long term. It only serves to separate you from God. He's the one that can satisfy long term. But we first have to overcome this problem.
Yes, yes. Well, let's take a break right now. We'll come back. Let's continue talking about this area of how do we, you know, we have this continually, you know, bombarding us and stuff. So, you know, not so much a solution, but let's talk about how not only us, but other brothers are challenged in the same way. And you'd be surprised how many would actually be able to reply, yes, I understand. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Whoa, no, I'm not giving up now. Whoa, life's a fight of wrong and right that's tearing me apart. Oh, but what the cross has done. Yeah, the world will try to battle for me.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Joel and Raul. Yes, the war is already won. That's something that we need to always be reminded of, and sometimes the only way of being able to get that is to be around people who are attempting to do the same thing you're doing. No, not sinning, trying not to sin, and because you can always find those who want to continue sinning. You know, they're all over, right? They're in our lives and everything. Yet this is going to be continual. So often, I recall when I was first accepted Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Actually, he became my Savior first, okay? He got me out of this, and I just wanted to thank him for that sort of thing. And I was reminded that I need to make him my Lord, the manager of my life, which I did at that first moment in time. I did. I wanted to just let him have all of me, everything, every part of my life, the good and the bad, all of it, because I didn't not want to live the way that I had been living. And as a result of that, I go down this path seeking to know him more. Get a Bible, spend some time in fellowship at the church that I was going to every Sunday, and attempting to read some of the Bible and do the things that were, I think, going to help me out, right? But as a result of that, one of the things that surprised me is that all of a sudden I was being tempted. It's like all of a sudden the temptations that were bothering me before became twice as powerful. And my head was filled with things. And it's like, oh, if I had problems in lust, now I was really having a lot more, it seemed like. Not only before was I trying to keep two beach balls under the water, now I had four beach balls to try to keep under the water, in a sense, okay? It was ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. So, not to be excluded.
Those temptations come because you now have a bullseye on your back.
There you go.
You have a giant neon kick me sign on your back.
Yeah, or and kill me.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to try and beat you down.
Yeah.
He really is. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 12, says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Mm-hmm. Now, I had some great victories these last couple days. And when last night came, right before I fell, I tried to do it on my own strength because I thought, surely I am standing on my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what happens? I fell. But there's more to that. 13 goes on to say, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." So the brother listening to this right now, struggling with his addiction to pornography, know that you're not alone.
Yes.
I struggle with it. There's other men that struggle with it. You're not the only one. Now, the enemy might tell you you're the only one. You need to keep this quiet because of what people are going to think about you and what they're going to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
There is hope. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But when that temptation comes to you, he will provide a way out. But you have to be willing to take it, and you have to be able to see it. God provided a way out for me last night, but I was so blinded by my own pride and my own strength that I didn't see it.
You know, so often, and you hit it right on the head, we think about our lives that there's certain things that take place in the world that try to weaken us, and yet the majority of those things that actually, the real source of it, it comes right from us. You mentioned it right there in pride. It talked about in the verse here in 12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Okay? So it's like it talks about in the Old Testament. It says, pride goeth before the fall. Okay? My pride is a big part of my Achilles heel. That it'll always be what is going to take me out. Okay? It will always. It is all about me. That's what it's about, okay? When it becomes less of me and more about him, okay, or others, then it's not about me, and so I'm safeguarded a little bit. But, yes, so often we end up with the struggle because, hey, the fact is that we've been embedded with me. It's got to be for me. Everything is for me. Yes, my family is for my family. I'm going to do the very best I can. I want to earn as much money. But is part of that because there are things that I want and I desire? Oh, I desire a family that is going to be exactly the way that I want them. Now, am I trying to control things? is it back to me, or is it truly allowing them to be who they are, as whether they're my wife, loving her just the way that she is, or my kids, kids will be kids. Let them be kids. Am I such a controller that I need to think that I've got to have control over everything? See, that becomes very prideful, okay? And the Bible is trying to tell me, die to self. Die to self. Kill the self, okay? And yet here I am still struggling, okay? And it might be because I'm still thinking about me. And what the Bible reminds me is that, you know, the Lord said, hey, seek me above all things, first and foremost, okay? Jesus said it. And he said, and the second is like it. They didn't expect him to say this, the greatest, when they asked about the greatest commandment.
Love your brother as yourself.
That's it. And think of others more highly than you. That's the same thing, still thinking of others. He says, these two laws, all the law, all right, can be put into these two categories. So they, you either love the Lord or love others, or you, and you do both. In doing so, hey, everything's going to be a lot better than what it used to be. But we have a tendency of not wanting to go there.
No. You either love the Lord and you love others, or you love yourself.
Yes.
And when you love yourself more than you love the Lord, more than you love others, you love the flesh.
Yes.
And when you love the flesh, you give in to the flesh.
Yeah.
You desire the things of the flesh. You desire the things of this world. And they will satisfy you temporarily.
Oh, yeah. But then you keep looking for that next high,
fix.
That next fix, whatever it is, of when that's going to be. And then we think, oh, gosh, you know, and the bombardment that comes, you know, where we sit there and go, I can't believe this is happening to me again.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a fix. Pornography is a drug. People don't see it as like that, but it is a drug. It causes a spike in dopamine levels in the brain. Mm-hmm. It's just as they have scientifically proven, it is just as addictive as heroin, and yet we don't see it like heroin. We don't see it as a drug, but it is. When we try and to satisfy the desires of the flesh, it's only going to satisfy temporarily until we want more, 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 until it consumes us completely.
See, so when you're saying things like that, as a guy listening, or you know, we could actually sit there and think, "Wow, I guess I might as well just give in to this."
No,
stuff.
No, you know? Don't give in.
Well, if it's just if I'm already addicted, that means that I need to have more of it. And
no, it means you need to overcome.
But there has to actually be something to a desire, something to get to a place of saying, "I need a change." Something has to happen, right?
Something does have to happen.
Something has to happen for somebody to turn left. If you're going straight and saying, this is the path I'm going, and for me to turn left, I've got a desire to go left for whatever reason. Some of that may be because of what's been going on in my life as a result of the challenge in my life. In this case being pornography, because that's what we're talking about, this sin. But it's pretty generic when it comes to how we deal with it. All in all, I mean, so often, I don't know about you, but I know that for myself and the pornography, that the addiction that had on me, is that it was in everything that I did. My son ended up catching pornography off of my computer, my work computer that I had at home, okay? And then all of a sudden, he eventually was doing it on his own when he got into high school, had his own computer, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, no, we're going to do that. You know, you do all the things to safeguard it, and, you know, none of that. When somebody wants something bad enough, guess what?
They're going to get it.
They're going to get it. You're going to do whatever, just like I said about the chocolate cake. If I don't have one here, I keep thinking about it, keep lusting over it, keep desiring it. I'm going to get in the car and go get it. Now, if the store happens to be closed, I'll probably have to downgrade from that luscious chocolate cake to a candy bar or something else.
A gas station.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That all of a sudden now something else will end up taking its place. Okay, it'll still be that sin or whatever that may be. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that eating a candy bar is a sin. I'm using this as an analogy.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to be able to clarify that sort of thing. Let's do this. Let's get our second commercial out of the way, our second break out of the way, so we can get back into this. Then we can start talking about maybe some of the things, safeguards that we could possibly do with dealing with the temptations that come right at us, between the eyes, whether you realize or not. Even while you're listening to this show, it's happening in your head. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Joel and Raul were in the studio, and we're talking about this on pornography, and we're talking about temptation. We talk about, and this is where I was heading before. I'd mentioned with my son looking at the pornography. He saw it on my computer, and then all of a sudden, of course, he gets in high school, and he's looking at it on his. Then I'm telling him to stop doing that sort of thing, and of course, you know, and he says, why do I have to stop if you don't?
Do as whatever. I say, yeah. Not as I do.
Yeah. So nobody ever has been in that position. Nobody here listening has ever felt that same way, right?
Not me. Definitely not me.
But the fact is that this is where we stir things up a little bit. Certain things have to take place. Sometimes for us to get to a place of discomfort in our lives as a result of making decisions to satisfy the flesh, okay, something has to change. You don't just make a left turn just because if you're going down a path that, man, I'm getting a lot of satisfaction. I'm getting this all the time and, you know, doing whatever it is, whatever's necessary. And now someone's telling me not to go that way? No, it's not going to happen. You're going to tell all kinds of people, tell you what you ought to do. Matter of fact, the Bible tells you and makes you feel guilty for reading what it says not to do. But you're not going to receive it until you're ready.
There has to be a realization in your life that what you're doing is wrong. Not only that it's wrong, but that it's going to have some devastating effects.
The consequences.
The consequences of your actions, and not just for you yourself, but for your family, for your friends. Like you said, your son started – he found it first on your computer. I found it first on my mom's computer. Now, I don't want my son or my daughter – to find it on my computer and then have to go through everything I've gone through.
Yes.
And so it doesn't affect just me. It affects everyone around me.
Okay, you have your children that, because they would end up, you know, maybe somewhere along the line being able to see it and catch it or whatever, okay? But it also affects our relationships, right?
It affects how I see, like I said, I see women as objects.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in a marriage and I'm not completely satisfied in that marriage. Not because my wife is doing anything wrong, but because I still trained my brain to be satisfied by everything that porn showed me that a woman should be, that a woman should do. So now I want my wife to be this. I want my wife to do this. It's what I want. It's what I desire. And everything I desire has been trained by porn.
Yes.
Now I'm expecting her to live up to that.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, and so often we end up looking at our wives or experiencing being in the bedroom with them, that they are, first off, don't look like these women that we've been looking at. okay? And they don't talk like they talk, and they don't act, definitely don't touch me the way that I would like to be touched, where they say they want to touch me. And all these guys, let me just tell you, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Right now, we're bringing this up because there are brothers who are listening to this and saying, wow, you guys are really talking like this about this sort of thing? This is almost bad. No, this is the reality. This is the reality of what sin happens. And if we don't talk about it, it stays in the darkness and nobody gets to hear it. But somebody needs to hear it this morning, this evening, this day, okay? So we end up in these positions of realizing that something needs to give, in a sense. My wife says, what's the matter? You know, she doesn't satisfy me. I can't hang on to, you know, an erection long enough because she doesn't touch me the way that I've been touching myself. Because this whole thing is all about, I mean, majority of the time, guys don't necessarily go take it to that next level of actually having an affair. Although some will, okay, or have, but there's a lot of masturbation that takes place. And you touch yourself differently than the way your wife would. You know what it takes to be able to feel good to a certain point, and then bam, okay? And she's not able to do that. And she's not able to do the things that you want because you don't want to say to her, oh, do this, do that. She's going to ask you. She's not dumb. Well, why do you want me to do that? Where'd you get that from, you know?
Then you have to open up about where you got it from.
Or
just be unsatisfied in your marriage.
Exactly.
Neither is a solution.
There's a lot of frustration that takes place.
It's going to cause a division between you and your wife. It's going to push you guys farther apart.
Yeah.
And then not only that, not only are you going to not be satisfied in the bed, you're not going to be satisfied in the rest of your marriage. And there's going to be a grudge. You're going to hold it against her.
Yes.
That she can't live up to the expectations you're putting on her because of what you saw these women do. Because, oh, well, these women love it. No, they're paid to do it.
Yes.
They're paid to do it. That's why they do it.
Yes. Yes. And that's another topic for another part of this, where the sex trafficking and by us looking at this sort of thing and have been looking at this sort of thing, we think that, hey, we're not paying for it. But yes, you are, because there are different ads and stuff that actually pay to be on there to be able to sell something, and they're selling sex. And these women are getting paid trillions, zillion-dollar industry.
It is. And some of these women are getting paid. They've done a study, and about 90% of the women in pornography today are slaves.
Yes.
And they are forced to do it.
Yes.
Now think about that for a second, that they're not willing to do this. Mm-hmm. They are forced into doing it.
But see, guys say, well, no, wait a minute. They look like they're really enjoying it. That's part of the act. That's part of the act. There are those who can say or do whatever so that they can convince you this is the way to go. This is the way to go. This is what you need to be able to do. And if you want more of this, then you can start buying this, or you can go there, or you can call this, or whatever it is, right? And it ends up destroying our lives, our marriages, because you may have, doesn't matter how many children you have, doesn't matter whether you're separated, divorced, or you still live with your wife and attempting to get through with all of this, this touches and affects your life in such a manner that certain things are end up brought up. Separation, divorce, you keep doing this, or, you know, what's going on? They can't, you know, we need counsel, and you don't want to do counseling because you don't want to get caught. And you just say, no, well, you go to counseling. All the things, everything that we ever think of to be able to alleviate, not even going there, it's not going to go away. It's going to continue getting worse.
It is, until you deal with it.
Yeah.
Like you said, until you bring it into the light.
Yes.
That's where, you know, the healing is going to start. You know, when you're finally tired of the destruction it's bringing on your life, on your family, on everything around you, then bring it to the light.
Yes. Yes. You know, so often it's in this arena, this could be kind of heated. There will be guys who will actually be listening to this and going, well, you know what? That's not for me. But here's the deal. You're listening to this on the internet, okay? this is your alternative location that you can actually come to and listen to different topics on this radio show from men who are going to speak truly from their own experiences so that you would be encouraged to take the alternative, okay? Now, the alternative, because there are many, many more things we could talk about this sort of thing, but I want to be able to get to a place of giving some application and maybe some realization of things that need to take place. First, you cannot do something about something until you realize that there is something.
You okay? have to admit it.
You have to get to that place. And if you're listening to the show, the likelihood is that you've already been pondering that if you haven't already. Or you might be listening to the show thinking, oh, these guys will give me an answer. They'll give me the answer that I've been looking for on all of this. Well, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. You've already heard the answer. You just didn't like it. So you're looking for something, an easier, softer way. Because the solution is not any different from some of the things that maybe you've already received. Okay? But let's go there in a certain arena. You got anything that you'd like to be able to share? And we do use the Word of God because it is powerful. It is truth. It's the way that the Lord had intended us to follow Him. Okay?
Yeah. So James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed.
Yes.
So there has to be a confession that takes place. You have to bring this sin into the light. Where there is light, darkness cannot abide. And so you have to confess it, and you have to get help by confessing it to someone else and praying with someone else. You know, yes. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them. You know, if two or more agree on something, the Father will give it to them in heaven. So you have to gather together with other believers.
Yes.
And you have to pray on this issue. You have to confess this issue with other believers.
And the likelihood is that your wife is probably a believer. The likelihood. Okay, sure, there are the exceptions out there who are listening, but the likelihood is that she is also a believer. Now, does that mean you need to let her know? Well, eventually. But timing is everything. God's timing is what's most important. See, this whole thing is about relationship. Believe it or not, it's about relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The Lord gave us a woman so that we would be able to have a family together, to be able to love and to nurture, to teach them, all of them, about the Lord, okay? Our priorities might be askew. They may be way out of whack, and that's part of what the problem is. Is that we've been living a certain way, we found certain pleasures, certain things, or in some cases, thinking that if we get married, all of this will go away. Did you mention something about that?
I did. Yeah. I thought for sure, once I have myself a woman, this will go away.
Yes.
Except
yes.
for the fact that I wanted her to live up to those expectations.
Yes.
And so it didn't go away. It made me unhappy that she wouldn't do what right. I saw them do.
And what this relationship with the Lord does is that it gets us to look at ourselves, okay, in a different way than way that we've looked at before. Of realizing that my pride, my ego, is a big part of the problem, if not the majority of it. Yes, it always takes two, there's no doubt. We all come as busted up baggage in a relationship, okay, and we bring stuff that the other person doesn't necessarily know about sometimes. That's why it's so important to go through some real good marriage counseling before you decide to get married, okay? But in some cases, you've already been there. So that doesn't mean you divorce this person and then you get somebody else and start anew. No. Our God is a redeeming God.
Amen.
There is reconciliation that can be taken in every situation. His word reminds us of that sort of thing. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks in chapter 4, okay? He mentions throughout how to be able to live as children of God, children of light, I think it's even mentioned. And he says in verse 17, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused, okay? Now, the Gentiles are the non-believers. Okay? And Paul, remember, he's speaking for the Lord who's speaking to us through his word here, of saying that they're confused. Okay? You need to understand. It's not about money's important. Yes, it is. It's important for you to earn a living, to be able to live in this world, to make things a little more comfortable for your family, okay? But it's the love of money. It's where the problem comes. Money itself is not bad. It's the love of money, where all of a sudden that becomes an issue. That becomes the number one thing on your priority list. He goes on to say, and I'm just going to use some of, I'm going to bounce around here. He goes on and he says, let's see here. Let me go. Throw off your old sinful nature, verse 22. Verse 24, he says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. In verse 25, he says again, so stop telling lies. He says in verse 26, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. In verse 28, he says, if you are a thief, quit stealing, period. In verse 29, he says, don't use foul or abusive language. In verse 30, he goes on to remind us that, well, 31 rather, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. He says, get rid of these things. So he's given us direction on what to do. He says, just stop this. And we think, wait a minute, I can't do that. I don't have that kind of power.
Not alone you don't.
You're right. You don't have the power. In Matthew, Paul talks about, he asked the Lord to take the thorn away from him. He asked him three times. He says, take this from me. And the Lord Jesus finally answered him and said, my grace is sufficient.
Yes.
My grace is sufficient. It's through your weaknesses, my power will be perfected. See, brother, it's not about our power. That's what we've been going with. We've been trying to handle and take care of things pridefully with our own power, and we don't have the power. We don't have the power to beat this thing. We don't have the power to be able to die to self. We don't have the power to convince our wives that they should stay with us and love us and forgive us. We don't have that kind of power. We just don't have it. But he does. And brother, all we have to do is go to him and submit to him by truly surrendering and asking for forgiveness from the sins that we've committed and allowing him to flourish in our lives. The word says if we abide in him, he'll abide in us. My goodness. I mean, yes, it's almost too simple. But how do we get this sort of thing? You've got to be in fellowship.
We do. We do. And thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. And as a result of that, that's where you use the one term that men gather together, reveal their sins with each other. They pray together so that they may be healed. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. So seek other brothers who are trying not to do this. Brother, you'll be amazed at some of the men that you don't even know yet that will say, hey, I've had this problem also. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, can we just submit to the Lord?